Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Monday morning. It's August 19th. We've got 59 degrees here in Old Town Park City. Also reporting 59 degrees in the Heber Valley. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, we have meteorologist Cedric Haynes. Good morning, Cedric.
Good morning, Leslie. Yes, we are starting off with quiet conditions after the wild and wacky weather that we experienced over the weekend. We had all the severe weather, the flash flooding, the lightning, pretty much as expected. But the good news is we're going to see that decreasing as we go into this week. With that being said, I do want to clarify that we will still have a chance of a few of these pop-up showers and storms as we go throughout our Monday afternoon. So we do want you to stay weather aware, because one or two of these storms, very similar to the past couple of days, could be on the strong side with some gusty winds, maybe some small hail, and of course that potential of some heavy rainfall in that short period of time leading to some flash flooding. But the overall coverage and intensity should be less this afternoon than what we saw over the weekend. High temperatures as you get towards the park City area will be in the 80s, the low to mid 80s. And in the Heber Valley, we may get closer to 90 degrees this afternoon with those partly cloudy skies before any pop-up storms develop. So we'll be in that. It'll be warm, but not overly warm, or no heat waves expected for us as we go throughout today. Now, as we go into your Tuesday, we expect some drier air to begin to filter in. So I think the rain chance even drops off more to just a very isolated chance of a shower popping up Tuesday afternoon. But I think most of us will actually be dry on Tuesday, which means it will be a little warmer. So we're looking at highs in Park City into the low to mid 80s. And as you get into the Heber Valley, temperatures climbing into the low 90s. And again, I think most of us will be dry as we go into our Tuesday. And that same story should stick around for our Wednesday as well. We're forecasting sunshine and highs climbing into the low to mid 80s on Wednesday in Park City. Heber Valley will be again around 90 to 91 in the afternoon with partly sunny skies, but should be fairly nice. Now, the pattern changes again as we get towards Wednesday night into Thursday, and we're going to bring back the chance of pop-up showers and storms out there again in the monsoon pattern that's going to come back in as we get towards your Wednesday night and Thursday, giving us more chances of those pop-up scattered showers and storms and the potential of some heavy rainfall. But the big story that we're keeping a very close eye on is actually going to be what's going to be happening as we get towards this weekend. That big pesky upper-level low that's been off the West Coast is actually expected to track a little farther inland now into the northwestern half of the country. And because of that, if that occurs, in the way it looks right now, it should, it's going to provide us with some much drier weather, some pleasant weather for the weekend with sunshine. But the bigger story will be the temperatures that will be cooling down. We're talking temperatures dropping down to highs, maybe struggling to hit 70 in Park City by the time we get towards the weekend. And even in the Heber Valley, we could be talking about upper 70s to low 80s for high temperatures. And again, that's with sunshine. That's not with rain cooled air. And we could be talking about low temperatures well down into the 40s in many spots. So get ready for some big changes for the weekend. But we do still have some ups and downs to get to this week before the weekend arrives. But a little something to look forward to, Leslie, as we get closer to the weekend.
Okay, thanks, Cedric. This has not been a good season for the tomatoes in the garden.
No, not at all. We hope to change that, though.
Okay, that's Cedric Haynes. Stay tuned. Coming up on the local news hour, we'll be checking in later with Park City Fire District Marshal Mike Owens with an update on the fire season and the chipping program. Later on, the director of the Snyderville Basin Special Recreation District, Dana Jones, will have some more details about a new trail at Silver Creek Village, as well as the start of the Run Amok project. In the studio now with an update from the Park City Fire District, Fire Marshal Mike Owens. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the good news is our fire danger has been lowered from extreme to high. Are we through the worst of it?
I believe we certainly are. You know, we just heard the weather report not too long ago, and we're starting to get really close to hitting the dew point every night. That's really where we wipe our heads and say we've had a good year. That's not to say that we can't have anything. It's just to say that if there is a fire now, it's less likely to spread as fast as it would during the hot season.
Yeah, so that dew point, is that when I get the condensation on my windshield?
That's exactly what it is, when you get the condensation on your windshield or the little dew drops there on your grass. That's a good time for us.
Okay. So officially, when does the fire season end?
There's no official date. And you know what's really interesting, Leslie, is that no official date has kept getting pushed back every year. So as we've seen changes in our environment, whether it be more fuel or changes in temperatures, that fire season, as we like to say, tends to last a little longer. But there is no official date.
Okay. Any idea how many fires you've responded to?
Ooh, I don't have that number right off the top of my head. Here within the Park City Fire District jurisdictions, I can tell you we had, I'm thinking like three or two. So we had very few. We were able to help some of our partners out there. We were able to help both North and South Summit with some fires this year. And we had some fires certainly, but it wasn't the worst year that we've had.
All right. So is it just a matter of time before we see a fire, or have we done what is needed to protect us, protect ourselves?
I don't want to say that it's just a matter of time, because we are an incredibly responsive community. Our community is very aware of our environment and what's going on around us, and we have some incredible players out here who are really working hard to keep to reduce the fuel load, we'll say. We're going to have wildland fires. That's just the nature of that's the nature of our environment. What we really try to do is keep them down. So we do a lot, and I really appreciate the work that the community does, and I ask them to keep doing what they do, and I know that's a big ask, but that's what helps us so that when we do have fires, they are very small.
And one of the ways I know that we do that is through the chipping program. Is that wound up for the year, or are you still going strong?
That program will run through the end of September. The crew that we have this year is just absolutely amazing. They're going through those piles almost as fast as they're getting registered. I have three young men who are just out there doing their best to chip wood piles as they get registered. And that, Leslie, that's the most important thing. People that want to use this program, they have to register for it. If they don't register for it, we don't know their piles are there.
So did you take it out of house this year? I mean, is it kind of a third party that's taking care of the chipping, or?
Nope. Every year we hire somewhere between two and three people. The crew is, a three-person crew is just about perfect for us. But we're able to hire a crew. We have our equipment. We have a new chipping machine this year. Last year we got a new chipping truck. And the process is just working really smooth this year.
Okay, sounds like maybe more horsepower or something, huh?
That's exactly it. If we have a machine that doesn't break down, we're able to do a lot more.
Okay. You wanted to talk a little bit about driving safety. Are you specifically talking about emergency vehicles and how people don't pull over?
So again, our community is really great, and most of them do. Most of them are aware of what's going on around them as they're driving down the road. But every once in a while, as our vehicles are responding and our lights and sirens are on asking people to move over, we get people who maybe they have their music up too high, or worse yet, they may have their headphones in. When they see the vehicles coming up behind them, sometimes they just panic and stop in the middle of the road, which is about the worst thing you can do. When you do see those lights or when you do hear those sirens coming, take a quick look in your mirror. And if you see us behind you, just please safely pull over to the right. And, you know, our vehicles don't travel super fast through the communities, even when they have their lights and sirens on. Safety is our number one priority.
Yeah, and when you say pull over safety, yeah, I mean, you've lots of cars pulling over. You've got to be careful about that.
We don't want to cause another accident, that's for sure.
Okay, and you also wanted to let people know about escape planning. What's that?
So now is a great time for families to look at what their plan is in case of an emergency. One of the things that we really ask people to do is this acronym called EDITH, which is Escape Drills in the Home. So if parents will take a few minutes to sit down with their kids and figure out how to get out of every room in case there's an emergency, and especially younger kids, they really like to practice. You can gamify it, if you want to use that word, where the kids can just turn it into a game where if the smoke alarm goes off, the kids know what to do.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us?
You know, if anyone has any questions, then please give me a call at my office. If you do want to register for the chipping program, it's available on our website at www.pcfd.org. I almost said kpcw.org, Leslie.
That's good.
our program, we will take registrations at least until the Monday or the Tuesday after Labor Day, possibly after a little bit longer if we still have room in our program. But please get your registrations in.
And just so people know what they're in for, I mean, what is it that they have to have done before somebody shows up?
All they have to do is stack their wood on the road close to their house. On the website, they just need to identify on a map where the pile is. And there's a few rules on the website, but nothing that's too hard. And anyone who's just cutting trees or trimming trees or cutting bushes, they'll be able to meet those without any problem.
Okay, Mike, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Mike Owens is the marshal of Park City Fire District. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. We've got in the studio with us the director of the Snyderville Basin Special Recreation District, Dana Jones. Good morning.
Morning, Leslie. Thanks for having me on this busy pledge drive
week. It is. So tell us, what's the latest with the Silver Creek Village?
So right now, we just finished up a new trail on the Silver Creek Village property. It's a loop trail, soft surface. So it actually gives you the opportunity to do a big loop on the paved trail that was existing and then on this soft surface trail. So we're very excited about that. It's kind of a precursor to some of the things that we hope to put there in the future.
Yeah, how big of a loop?
It's just over a mile.
Okay.
Well, the new part is just over a mile, so it would be closer to two if you do the whole thing.
All right. There was something that was brought up at last week's meeting, some just dismay. I guess it was the joint meeting with the Planning Commission and the Summit County Council over the lack of communication between Basin Rec and High Valley Transit. So what was it? You weren't there, I guess, but I mean, basically, we don't have bus routes to serve the new.
You know, I listened back on that, and I didn't really hear. I heard Bruce Carmichael mention transportation, but I didn't hear High Valley Transit, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the what he was referring to. I do know that we have been we worked with a consultant and did a whole conceptual plan for Silver Creek Village. And at that time, we had a couple of stakeholders groups, and High Valley Transit and the Summit County Planning and Transportation were all involved in that. And I want to let people know that we're still 3 to 5 years out from even starting construction. So it's, we are actually, actively talking to folks, and we have lots of time to do it. Right now, the plans that we have are very conceptual, and we are working with transportation. We're meeting with Carl Miller. We're talking, we did go and talk to the Planning Commission. And like I say, it was just very preliminary stuff, just to start giving people an idea and a heads up of what's going on out there.
Okay. Let's see. You have another run amok project planned. The park was closed earlier this year for cleanup. So now what?
So this is really exciting. As everybody probably knows anyway, the run amok is our most popular trailhead in the entire basin. It is a very popular dog park, and oftentimes people are parked down both sides of the road because the small parking lot that's there is full. So we are actually building a second parking lot for run amok, and it's going to have a restroom in it and be able to really take that overflow of cars off the road and put them in a parking lot, and there's going to be a couple new trails that will connect it into run amok. But we're super excited about this. It's also, and I know we're way ahead on this one, but we have talked a little bit with UOP on how this can be used also in the Olympic planning for 10 years from now.
All right. So is that does that going to require another closure of run amok, or just?
It shouldn't.
Just
no,
add, yeah,
no.
Add
it's
on.
Just going to add on, and it's going to allow folks, additional parking, a restroom. We're getting rid of those porta potties that are out there, and so exciting. And
it is.
And we're going to be able to give people, a chance to not park on the road with their dogs.
All right. Kids are going back to school this week, so we've got summer recap. Busy summer.
Oh yes. I mean, we had thousands of kids in our summer camps, our swim programs. As people may have heard me mention in the past, I'm a big advocate that every child should know how to swim. And so we've had just tons of kids in those programs. We're starting our fall soccer program now. We have new lunch and learn opportunities. We have learn to play pickleball clinics for adults to come on in and, learn to play that very popular sport. And another big thing that people should start looking for closer to the end of the year is we're going to have a new website, and we're very excited about that.
All right. Summer camps, I think you pretty much sold out of most of them.
Our the camps that we have every week that a lot of our folks use for childcare during the summer, we always take more kids into those. It's the specialty camps that were sold out. So we have a lot of different specialty camps, from mountain bike camps to cooking camps to our adventure camps that go some really cool places every day for the week. So those camps did all sell out pretty quickly. But our general weekly summer camps, we always try to take everybody that wants to put their kids somewhere for the summer. And we have had some tremendously positive comments. We did kind of a revamp of the program. Brandon, the one who's running those camps, has been just doing an amazing job of just making them professional. The kids love it. We hear from the parents all the time.
So will you, looking towards next summer, would you be able to add more of those specialty camps, just given that they're so popular?
You know, it really depends, because part of the issue with that is a lot of times they have to have transportation. So we have vans, but we also have to have camp counselors that are over 21 to drive the vans with the kids in it. So a lot of that is going to depend on our ability to provide the transportation, the vans, the drivers, and those kind of things.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
I don't think so. We're really excited. You know, we talked a little bit about Silver Creek Village, and you know, Basin Recreation is recreation, and we really think this property, which is basically between two freeways and a housing development, is perfect for recreational facilities. I mean, Basin manages 2,500 plus acres of open space, which will always be open space, and we'll manage it as such. But this piece of property here is just it's. You know, it's kind of the perfect location for us to provide some more recreational amenities.
Okay, Dana, thanks.
Thank you.
Dana Jones is the executive director of the Centerville Basin Special Recreation District. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. Again, it's day one of the KPCW Pledge Drive. And I want to remind you that by 9 o'clock this morning, you're going to know what's going on across the world, across the country, and certainly locally right here in the Wasatch Back. And that's because you listen to KPCW's Morning Edition and the Local News Hour here on KPCW. So we're asking for your help today to bring you these programs tomorrow. You can give right now at kpcw.org or give us a call. We got a lot of volunteers, 435-649-9004.